All right, back in the DFSR here with our NBA podcast for Tuesday, November 28th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, DFSR.com/NBA. Head over and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab. That's optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings NBA, NFL. You're all set to go under one subscription package, so go check that out. Got a pretty short night in NBA tonight, only 5 games, but there is some injury news sitting out there. Quick question, though. Leading into Sunday, we had Marc Gasol in our lineups, and we just missed the cash line on both sites because he ended up just randomly sitting like the last 8 minutes of a close game because Fizdale does not bring him back in. Fizdale then promptly gets fired a day and a half later. Do you think that is the just desserts for screwing us out of what should have been 6 to 7 minutes of quality Marc Gasol against the best matchup you can have in basketball?
Yeah, a few more rebounds, some points. I think I was firing him in my own mind at the time that it was happening. So
I was doing worse than that, buddy.
Needless to, a little grim. That's good. That's a little okay.
I stand by it. All right, keep going.
Bah, just miss her. I don't know. Yeah, that happens. It's basketball. Guys sometimes lose minutes for totally random reasons, and for the most part, they don't, though. It's what makes basketball the most sane of all the DFS sports. So we'll get them next time, as they say.
So Fizdale gets fired, and now Memphis is just a complete and total mess. They don't play today, but I thought it was just worth bringing up as, like I said, same. Sometimes the axe falls in your head when you screw me out of, one-fourth of one-fifth of Marc Gasol's lineup, or total minutes. 5-game slate of basketball going tonight. Some interesting injury news that's going to sit out there that we actually might not have, because the way the schedule breaks down tonight is the Miami-Cleveland game starts at 7. The next 2 games don't start for another hour later, and then obviously there's 2 10 o'clock games, and a couple of those have some injury concerns with them. So I think there's some chance that we are, especially considering the nature of some of these injuries, that these could be test out on the court before game kind of injuries, and those don't always work themselves out in the last hour or when given more than an hour. So we could be in a weird spot here tonight. We'll go through what some of those concerns are. The first game is Miami at Cleveland. LeBron has just continued his LeBron crushing tour of late. He came out in the first half yesterday against the Sixers and looked completely and utterly unstoppable. He did end up slowing down a little bit, but not really. He only had to play 31 minutes. The game kind of got out of hand late, and he ended with a 30-13-6 line. Again, that was only 31 minutes. In close games, you can kind of dial him into somewhere around 40 minutes. You know, when we're doing the LeBron versus Giannis comparison going forward in terms of just overall fantasy output, do you have a strong take on one? They're about the same price on both sites. LeBron's 12,000, Giannis is 11,800. Giannis has been the more consistent player over the course.
Yeah, Giannis is better. That's my take. I think Giannis is just a better fantasy play in general. LeBron has had a few big games, no question about it. He's significantly more risky to lose his minutes just because Cleveland is involved in more blowouts. The rebounding for him, it's nice to see, but it's really a kind of a Johnny-come-lately approach to rebounding. The 14 and the 16 and so on, it's just not something you can count on going forward. He's the primary ball handler on the team, so that helps, but so is Giannis. So I think LeBron is just more like an $11,000 fantasy player, and Giannis is probably fairly priced at around where he is now, 11,800. And I would, barring the absurd matchups like Brooklyn, like those types of spots, I would probably play Giannis sight unseen in a neutral matchup.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a little close. I know you kind of snap called it, and I think that's fair. It's probably a little closer for me because I do think like the recent LeBron games are kind of just maybe weighing more in my mind. I don't know if there's been like a marked switch of him recently. He's definitely been shooting. I don't know. I think it's a little.
Well, the case for it, I think, is the Bledsoe arrival in Milwaukee, I guess. Like Giannis has definitely been scoring a little bit less since Bledsoe's arrived. Not totally clear to me that will sustain itself going forward. I think you could probably argue that the assists might not creep back up to where they had been early in the season, but I don't know. What I just love about Giannis is just the minutes. Like it just almost doesn't matter what's happening. There's one game where he's played fewer than 30 minutes this season. And you go over to LeBron's game log, and I'll have to count these up because there's so many of them, Doug. Just one game where LeBron's played fewer than, two games. See, double the number of games. I don't know. I guess they're both pretty consistent. Maybe I did overstate it originally, but certainly they call me the eye. They don't call me the eye for nothing, Doug. And my eye said Giannis there. So I'm going to stick with
it. Nobody calls you the eye. Or except for you.
That is not true.
That you try to talk your family into convincing your family that some other people are calling you the eye. Worth noting.
That's not true. What I asked you. Okay. So hold on before you just smear me that way. I was away and some situation came up when I was away for the holidays where I used my incredible eye-like powers to solve some situation. People are like, what the hell just happened here? Their words, not mine. And I was like, well, they call me the eye. And they were like, well, hold on. No, they don't. And so I tried to text you to confirm that they call me the eye. And then it turned into this big thing where you were questioning my integrity. So
all I said was you call yourself the eye. I've never heard anyone else call you the eye. And so if you want to, if you're using yourself as they, then yes, they call you the eye. One thing to note about just about season long,
I prefer the pronoun they, so thank you very much. That's I think we can be done with that now. I don't want to be questioned on that one more time by you, or else I'm going to post about it on Twitter.
Go Giannis ahead. And LeBron have about the same average fantasy points per game this season. For FanDuel purposes, Giannis is 55 a game. LeBron has 54 a game. LeBron's standard deviation is double of what Giannis is. Giannis's standard deviation is 7.4 and LeBron's is 14.5. So again, there is some other context, like you said, with the Bledsoe thing that probably does call it some into question. And I don't know, like the recent, it does look like LeBron's been very, very engaged in recent games. And so that, sure, that kind of does tend to matter. They're not going to get Derrick Rose back anytime soon. That seems to have helped him in his game. And doesn't, it honestly look like Rose might just retire. Like he's not, doesn't seem like he's hurt anymore. It just seems like he just doesn't want to play basketball anymore. So I don't think Rose is going to come back. Probably better for the Cavs in general. Other thing, anything else to like about this game? You know, Cleveland is a team that we haven't mind picking on guys going the other way. Their defense is creeping. It's still bad, but it's, for the start of the season, like the first 5 to 10 games or something like that, they were the worst defensive efficiency in the league by a country mile. They are now, I don't know, fifth worst. And I'm only saying it's that because they've made improvements, right? Like the defense is improving, right, gradually as the season goes on here. Is there anything to like here on the Miami side or anyone else from Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, the system's going to keep calling out Dragic as a little bit underpriced here. And I think that's probably fair. I mean, he's the number's gone up from like 6,300 up to 6,900. He had been paying that somewhat routinely before laying an egg there against Chicago. Chicago was a kind of similar matchup to Cleveland. They've been playing terrible defense, but also playing very slowly. He didn't quite get there. I think on today's slate, depending on where the value shakes out, like, you know, for instance, if we can play Tim Frazier again, we'll probably want to do that. But I don't think, unfortunately, on the Miami side, there's a whole lot to love here.
Yep, I think it's kind of the same way for Cleveland. Miami's a slow team. Their minutes haven't been completely there. They've been running. They kind of play hot hands off the bench, as we talked about in the past. And if you're like, you know, if you're Jeff Green last night, and all of a sudden you get your 6 for 12 shooting, then you're just going to play your 27 minutes. But that's not going to happen consistently enough. And that's going to be the end of Crowder and Kevin Love's minutes just aren't really materializing. Sort of no matter what's happening. He had major foul problems last night against Embiid also. So all this is being said, it's kind of just the LeBron show in this game. I do suspect you see LeBron's ownership pretty high just because of the recent performance. And I think it's going to be a closer decision, at least for us, between him and Giannis. Moving into the 8 o'clock games, the Phoenix goes in and plays Chicago. The outstanding news here is the availability of Devin Booker. He sat last game. Joshua Jackson started. Booker is questionable right now. You know, this is a thing I'm a little, this is one of the ones I'm a little worried we don't have all of the news ahead of time. Right now, a guy, it doesn't really matter for the Chicago side, obviously, but it matters for the Phoenix side.
It's a lot of shots to pass around.
It is. And TJ Warren gets a pretty big bump without Booker there. Like I said, with Jackson didn't play outsized minutes, only played 23, 24 minutes, but it did take a lot of shots. He just happened to shoot 2 for 10 from the field. I like to see the shots, mostly just the thing that materialized. I get that he didn't make them, but if their team's willing to have him play. And then the other question here is what to do with the point guard situation. Tyler Ulis started, played 20 minutes, and then Mike James came in off the bench and played 30 minutes. It's kind of the same thing with Troy Daniels.
Ignore it. That's what you do in that situation. You don't want to make a guess on that because Phoenix has they're not even trying to win. So you can't guess at their motivation. And so it doesn't matter who's better. It doesn't matter who the hot hand is. Just ignore it, in my opinion.
So we're going to wait on that. Like I said, we'll give bumps to Warren, probably a bump to Jackson, because I do think that he stands to play more minutes if Booker were to sit again. I think, especially if you can just get a shot to fall. Chicago side, we're always looking to target against the Suns. And who stands out to you from the Bulls team?
Yeah, Markkanen is a guy I think I continue to like. You know, it's been a kind of a weird couple games for him, but I do think the plan in a normal game script is for him to play something like 30 to 33 minutes per game. It's the fastest matchup in the league. It's one of the worst defensive teams in the league. The Suns are particularly weak against big men, so I think he's a guy you can look at. The Bulls, though, you know, they bring a lot of the same baggage that these other bad teams do, and that the minutes are fairly inconsistent. The only other guy I think that I would want to play in this game is probably like Justin Holiday. Holiday at 5,500, potentially against backup shooting guards. I mean, even Booker himself isn't the greatest defensively. Probably underpriced if he plays his normal rotation of 36 to, say, even up to 40 minutes. But, you know, with Chicago involved, there's no such thing as a normal game script. These guys are just that bad.
Yeah, Holiday is actually a guy and this is all relative to the Bulls, kind of trust. He is probably the most consistent minutes guy on the team. So that's not saying much because, again, this is a Bulls team whose minutes are all over the place. So, but of all the guys, like he's like, you know, sort of like the Booker, Devin Booker for the Suns in the sense that they're a bad team. And there is always going to be one or two guys, even on bad teams, that they're going to, unless you're the Kings, that are going to go out and just play regular minutes. He strikes me as one of them. I think that you're going to want to have exposure here. I mean, the other guy I'm wondering your opinion here is about Chris Dunn. Chris Dunn is a guy that our system has been wanting to play when he moved into the starting position. He is starting at point guard right now. He's been all kinds of bad. Like he's never really going to be. I don't think he ever projected to be all that good coming out of Minnesota. He's 2 for his last 17 from the field. He can't make any 3-pointers. Had times to throw in defensive stats. Do you think this is the kind of game we can maybe go back to the Chris Dunwell just because of the overall pace and maybe we see an uptick in minutes if he can get a shot going?
Yeah, I mean, you can think about it. It's just really expensive to pay for a guy who just sometimes goes out there and scores single-digit fantasy points. I mean, we've seen the upside from Dunn, too. When the shot is falling, he can have the ball in his hands more. He can wind up grabbing more incidental assists, things like that. He can run up steals from time to time. Just know that you're taking on risk playing a guy that's this inconsistent at this price point. Also at this position where, you know, and we'll get to these guys in a bit, but there are some pretty good consistent options you can run out there tonight.
Yep, and I think one of them comes from the next game, which is Washington and Minnesota. Or excuse me, there's possibly two guys here. Well, at least one.
Take them both. I mean, depending.
John Wall is going to be out for at least, I think, the next four games, possibly a month. Or I can't remember the exact number, but I can't remember.
It was four 2 weeks, I think is what
I 2 weeks. I couldn't remember if it was four games or 4 weeks. So he's going to be out. Tim Frazier got the start last game, but didn't play a ton of minutes. I kind of had penciled him in to be sort of just like their primary guy. He had been a guy that they had been fine playing off the bench, and then all of a sudden just came in and only played 28 minutes. Now, 28 minutes for his price is fine, though it's not amazing. Like, so
it's not exciting, no.
So what are your thoughts here? Do you think that like the plan is to kind of play him mid-30s minutes? I mean, we've seen it a couple times in the past. Like, he played twice this year. Once he played 31 minutes against Toronto. Another time he played 36 against Toronto, and I believe that was with Wall out. Doesn't look like it was foul trouble. It just looks like they played, I don't know, some of the bench guys and had Beal maybe handle more of the primary stuff. Are you worried? I mean, I have him at 33 minutes right now. Do you think that's fair?
I do think that's fair. I also think it's just tricky with a guy like Frazier because we have him at a pretty decent points per minute projection, like in terms of overall fantasy production per minute. But it's odd because most of the time he's playing out there, it's with some other group of guys who aren't the other four guys in the starting lineup, right? So, you know, whether it's running the second unit altogether or, you know, because Washington does play deep. They don't play very deep rotations. They play their starters tons of minutes. So when Frazier's been getting out there, you know, for his 12 to 16 minutes a game, maybe he scores a point, fantasy point per minute or more. It stands to reason that he probably won't get that with the higher usage guys out there, guys like Beal, who the ball can disappear onto from time to time, even Porter, Markieff Morris, you know, Gortat, all these guys are happy to shoot, you know, once the ball lands in their hands. And so I think that will limit Frazier's overall points per production upside. That being said, I think the plan right now in Washington is to play him a starter's minutes. And I think the Portland game was on the low end of that. I think you have to understand you're probably taking on some risk here. 4,900 is obviously a lot more than the 3,000 we played for him or paid for him the last time around. But I do think that you see his minutes tick upward as Wall continues to miss time.
Yep, and 4,900 FanDuel is still a value if you think a guy is going to be a primary ball handler playing more than 30 minutes. I mean, again, we're in a new kind of pricing order here with FanDuel, especially where that is still representative of like getting near punt plays if the guy has any basketball skills, which Frazier does. He's not clearly not John Wall, but that 4,900. I mean, we talked about this with Mario Chalmers. It was like, okay, you play him at 3,000, you still play him at 4,500. You kind of maybe play him at 5,900 in the right matchup, right? If you think the minutes minutes are going to be there. So that's just kind of just been the nature of how, especially FanDuel has been scoring. I think Beal is clearly locked in here still as a probably pretty chalky play. His usage goes way up with Wall, really all of his numbers, really actually every starter.
Well, that's the thing with Wall, like, and this is why I'm also kind of bullish on Frazier. Wall is third in the league in terms of time of possession per game, first in the league in terms of average seconds per touch per the stats data from NBA.com. So the guy has the ball in his hands constantly. And when you free up just that much more action for everyone else, it's 8.8 minutes per game that the ball can be in other people's hands. That's really just a ton of value to spread around. So yeah, I love the Washington guys tonight.
Yep, it seems like Beal has a high, still will always have a high minutes floor. They've been fine playing him a lot of minutes. He took 24 shots last game and kind of ran badly, only shot 3-for-10 from three. So he stands to probably have run a little bit better there. His assists actually went up a little bit too. So like I said, across the board, a little worried about some of the minutes on guys like Gortat. Gortat's minutes have kind of been all over the place. Gortat actually, you know, we have a query, an on-court, off-court query in for all these guys. And Gortat actually doesn't see any kind of bump at all with Wall off the court. Like he's just basically the same, if not maybe a little bit worse with Wall off the court. Are you worried at all about his minutes? He only played 28 last game. Again, they played the bench a little bit more than normal, but Gortat seems like he's been a little more up and down than I would. He's coming cheap, and that's really kind of the reason I mentioned him here.
Yeah, the Gortat is definitely the most questionable one. We've gotten burned on him in the last couple games, or not the last couple, but last game we played him against Portland on DraftKings, I believe, and he burned us there. I have to think that the plan is still to stick with him in the kind of low to mid 30s range, just because he does something for that team that none of the other guys do. But and I think actually the time where Gortat's most at risk is against teams that can run out small ball sorts of lineups. Like, for instance, he's not really needed against the Portland bigs, right? They don't really bring anyone that can threaten the Wiz down low. The Timberwolves bring the complete opposite plan, where they have very effective big man in Towns in particular. And I think Gortat's really the only one equipped to even try to hang with Towns. And I think for that reason, you see him go back up into that 35-minute range tonight.
Yep, and this game has a decent total, all things considered. 104 points for the Wiz without Wall represents like they're going to score points. So I think sometimes people look at 104 and say it's low. And it's like, no, if 104 for this group of guys is actually pretty high. And so I think you're still getting value. I think you're kind of getting value across the board, even guys like Markieff, like I already mentioned, Beal, and then Porter as well. So that who are seeing all bumps across the board. Minnesota side, we're waiting on Jeff Teague news. This is another one that I'm a little worried about. Mm-hmm. Not getting this in time for the game. He sat out last game with an Achilles, just Achilles soreness. So like, there's nothing technically wrong with him, which makes me feel like he's going to play. But and again, we might just be stuck in between with not having the news. If he doesn't play, though, we saw what happened pretty clearly last game. Tyus Jones, he sat out two games. The first game they started Aaron Brooks and then quickly said, this is not a good idea, and then switched over to Tyus Jones pretty quickly. Jones's numbers look good. So here's the thing you like about Jones. 39 minutes last game, again, but it was against the Suns. He scored a lot of fantasy points, but he had 9 total steals and blocks. And so I'm just like, let me just ask you, what are your feelings on Tyus Jones here? Would he be like an instant lock play at 5,200 on FanDuel? He's a little bit more expensive on DraftKings. Or do you think that his line looks a little wonky because it was just all built on, basically built, just completely built on defensive stats?
Yeah, you're going to definitely play him if he winds up being a starter here. There's just not that many great options at point guard to begin with. And yeah, they're definitely weighted towards the steals and the block, but not like outrageously so from my perspective. For instance, if he had no steals whatsoever in the last two games, he would still have averaged 5x on these prices. So sure, you can't count on the outrageous 10x performance he had against Phoenix, but even again with zero steals, he's still averaging value on these prices. So yeah, I'm going to definitely play Tyus Jones if it comes to pass that he's the starter tonight.
Yep, and I think we're just hoping to get the news in time, and Minnesota is decent about reporting this kind of stuff, so hopefully we get it, but it does strike me as one of those kind of injuries that he's going to be just testing out in pregame warmups, and then we're going to know. All right, before we get to the 10 o'clock games, hit us up with a sponsor.
Yeah, let's talk about fantasyfactor.com. So Fantasy Factor does a lot of exciting things over there. I mean, they do really nice things for new players, for people that aren't sharks, putting in hundreds of lineups. We mentioned it before. It's a great salary cap game format for people playing between, say, $5 and $100 per night. And coming up this Wednesday, they have a $200 NBA free roll. So you can go over there. There'll be $200 up for grabs. Go check it out. Get your share of the action. Win a little bit and then put it back into play. And I think you'll really like your experience over there. So check out fantasyfactor.com and check out that free roll today.
I should just say, I think some of these other Minnesota guys are in play as well. Obviously, like we've seen huge minutes still out of guys like Taj Gibson at times. Towns is a guy that's been butts up against close to 40 minutes per game. Still kind of buying a little bit low on DraftKings, at least on Jimmy Butler. I know that the performance hasn't completely been there for him, and it's a little concerning, but they are almost daring you to play him at 7,600 on DraftKings. So he's a guy that I've had a little trouble evaluating in terms of just like what he totally is on this team, though he did have a good game last game, went 11 for 19 from the field and kind of chipped in all the way across the board. So definitely, I thought that I kind of just maybe skipped over some of those Timberwolves guys. I think a lot of those guys are still in play. 10 o'clock game, Milwaukee goes in to play the Kings. We talked at length about Giannis. A guy our system's kind of high on here is Bledsoe, and I'm a little worried that some of this, like we don't have enough of a track record on Bledsoe's like performance with Giannis. And then we're getting some kind of weird games. Like we get one non-Giannis game against Phoenix, which is not going to be completely representative of like what he's going to do points per minute. And that being said, he was still good against Utah. He was decent against Washington when the minutes
six steals against Washington too. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I mean. Like, I just don't know, like the defensive stats don't seem like they're going to totally be there, but then he only played 30 minutes and was really good against Utah. So, I mean, is Bledsoe at 7,000 on FanDuel? Does he represent a value here? He's kind of showing up in a lot of top lineups right now. This is 11 o'clock Eastern, so these things change. But do you think we're getting value on Bledsoe?
I think he's totally playable. I think he's a future member of the Bucks rotation right now. He really is an answer to their ball handling troubles in a way that guys like Middleton really aren't. You know, Middleton, more of a defensive 3-and-D sort of catch and shoot sort of guy, has been put in the role to try to create in the past, but that's really Bledsoe's bread and butter. So I would be happy to play Bledsoe on these prices, again, given the small nature of the slate and the seemingly high floor that comes from being someone on the Bucks who they really want to play. You know, he's just so much better than Brogdon, all the other options, that I think the plan in an average game is about 35 minutes. And since he's been good on a points per minute and just a performance per minute basis, really since he's arrived, I mean, he also had that great game against Detroit in just 30 minutes as well. I think he's a higher floor than it appears at first glance.
And I know before we were discussing, you know, like the either or of Giannis and LeBron, I think with just a little bit more value coming in on this slate, which just seems like it could be close, you could just be in a situation where you play them both. It'd be weird. It might be weird to forego a guy like Beal in the mid tier to end up doing that. And that might be what ends up happening. But there is some other cheap value kind of coming in at other positions. And right now, when you lock those two guys in, at least on FanDuel, the lineup's only about a point and a half off what our top lineup is now. So I say that to mean it's pretty close. And usually those things tend to get closer as you get closer to lock, just because you get another cheap guy kind of coming in along the edges. So that could end up being just what the plan is. And then you have the Kings here. I mean, the Kings played, they're coming off a huge win. They beat the Warriors last night. You know, the Warriors were without, obviously, their two best players in Durant and Curry. And then end up kind of throwing out like a weird starting lineup. Anything for a team that we've kind of wanted to avoid in the past? I mean, but sometimes on these smaller slates, these guys do come in as you maybe need to consider them, just because you don't want to just shrink the player pool by an entire, you know, by whatever it is, like 10% of the whole overall thing. Anything you like here on the Kings?
Yeah, you don't usually want to do that, but sometimes the Kings just force your hand. And I mean, there's certainly guys you can consider. Like, one thing that I'm sure a lot of people are going to think about is whether to play De'Aaron Fox over some of these other punt plays, like just because he's got a similar track record, arguably a more stable role. The minutes again are up and down, so I don't know if I would do that personally. I'm going to lean on the side of probably not. And I'd argue, even that right now we're a little bit high on his minutes. Some other guys, you know, Garrett Temple's still really cheap for maybe your big tournament purposes. But yeah, as you go from position by position for the Kings, you're not going to see a lot that excites you. And, you know, there's, again, upside guys for big tournaments. Willie Cauley-Stein falls there, but no one I don't think that you really need to prioritize for cash games.
Yeah, these guys come in, like last night we threw out some pretty good DraftKings, like late lineups, just because that's where you really need to focus on these guys. But anything more than like two or three slates, it's very, very difficult to think about two or three game slates. Yeah. It's very difficult to think about rostering these guys because they just are completely inconsistent in how they get run. Speaking of a team that's very starting to get hard to figure out what they're going to do, Denver is playing Utah. If you're Kenneth Fareed, you think to yourself, oh, I'm starting. And then the next game you said, oh, I'm not going to play at all. And then the next game you said, oh, I'm going to start and play 30 minutes. And that leaves us in a situation of like, what the hell is going on with Denver? Like, I want to give Fareed 30 minutes and I can give him 0 minutes. Like, I don't know like what you do with these guys that just like randomly start, or they randomly just don't play. And then now, and it's going to be 3 hours before this is 3 hours before or after lock starts. And we've been down this road. Like, we've been down where they just do not announce this stuff ahead of time. What do we do with the Denver team knowing that we're not going to have their starting lineup ahead of game time?
Yeah, I think that you probably don't do anything. I mean, it's a combination of a really slow and bad matchup with Utah and the just relative uncertainty. The fact that stuff has just been coming and going, minutes flying all over the place in every which direction. I just don't see why, even on a small slate, you would really want to take that risk.
Right now, I just did it very quickly, and I'll go back and reset. I put Fried at 30 minutes. I'm sure it's too high. But even at like 25 minutes, he might be something of value at a power forward position that's really typically pretty hard to fill in. The power forward.
Do you think you'd play him at 0 minutes?
No, I would not do that. but the thing is, here's the problem, right? So you look at FanDuel power forward tonight. You get guys like Taj. I think that's pretty much a lock. But then you get Derek Favors at 7,000. You're like, Markieff at 5,200. No guarantee there. And then the list really starts looking pretty bad or expensive. Like, Henson's minutes have been all over the place. You said Markkanen's in a decent spot here, but he's not exactly cheap in his minutes. Like, he really never exceeds his minutes. And then forget the rest of the list. It's like Jarebko, Portis, Randolph. I mean, at that point, is it worth taking the risk on just, I feel like he's very unlikely to play 0 minutes. At that point, is it still just too risky to play Fried?
Yeah, possibly not. And just expect a lot of mean emails if he winds up in the optimal lineup. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I can see the emails going either way, because I can see the email saying, why isn't he in there? Like, I could see the chat or whatever going both ways on this one, because I could see it ahead of time saying, why isn't he in there? And then afterwards saying, what was he doing in there? So I've
heard that you can please them all. Has that been your experience as well? Well, I've noticed, like, when I make the lineups, that basically everyone is just unanimously pleased.
Something like that on the Jazz. And then, by the way, the other piece of injury news that we're probably not going to have, Wilson Chandler, he left the game early last game. He's questionable as well. He's another one where if you were to sit, you get Will Barton. Will Barton's a guy we liked going into last game and then randomly came off the bench and played a season low minutes at 17 minutes. So I'm entering this kind of like nervously scratching my neck and like panicking, looking at the computer, wondering like what to do with this Denver team. And so it's just gonna be very, very difficult going in. And also the bad matchup doesn't help either. Anything that you like on the Jazz side of all though?
Yeah, the Jazz, I mean, it is a decent matchup here. So, I mean, your eye is going to turn to guys like the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz suffer from a lot of the problems that some of these other teams have as well. Either uninspiring performances at various positions or erratic minutes. I could see Derek Favors getting run tonight. He's only been playing 29 or so minutes per game. Like, that definitely seems like the plan in your average game. And he's been paying the price when he pays 29 minutes in many cases. So should be a plus matchup with Fried or whomever winds up guarding him down low. It's, again, not a guy I would want to build lineups around, but if he wound up in a final lineup, I would look at it, probably feel a little bit disappointed, and then probably not be able to find any better option for the position. So, yeah, Favors is on that list of dudes who might wind up there. But, yeah, outside of him, I'm not really seeing a lot.
And then I just looked over at his price on DraftKings, Fried at $3,900 on DraftKings, so even more enticing over there. So it should be fun. All right, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, dfsr.com/NBA will get you that free 3-day trial, 3 for 3 days, and then $34.95 a month after that. We'll be back tomorrow talking a full slate of basketball action. Also, make sure you go out and check out our NFL podcast as well. That's up on our iTunes feed, all into the same DFSR network over on Blog Talk Radio if you want to go check it out there. All right, buddy, talk to you again tomorrow. Enjoy your Tuesday of basketball.
Yeah, buddy. Peace.